in the months and years to come.
And so where do you drive for Uber now?
Well, right now I have been using Hillsboro, Beaverton, Gresham, all of the surrounding areas, some in Vancouver as well. And you know, I've heard from a lot of the people that I have picked up, and they have all given me great experiences when they've used Uber in the past.
So do you go to those communities and sit parked waiting for somebody to ask for a car?
Well, I have. Usually I come to the place where they want me to pick them up.
No, but how do you know where they want you to pick them up?
Well, I get a ping on my phone, and usually it's a 20-minute ride from my house in central Portland. And, you know, sometimes I have to go from my house near the Lloyd Center District all the way out to Gresham or Beaverton or Hillsboro, and I'm willing to make those trips.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Evening.
Good evening. My name is Mukhtar Abdo. I'm one of the immigrants. I live here more than 10 years, and now I'm Uber driver. I used to be taxi driver. So there was too many problems we have in there, but they change always we need it. We don't need in one particular company or to be holding in the town. We need the town to be free to make money for everybody. It's not a one person to look it. We have to look the interest of our society. So what I learned from Uber is like it's not a one company. It's like we make money. The person, customer you're picking up, is easy for him to access, and world always changing. It's not a long time ago, the cell phones, there was no cell phone. Now there is a cell phone. Technology, life always changing. So we need change in everywhere, every particular time in our life. Is now, I used to be, when I was working, $450 for every week. And I can't go home and sometimes eat a lunch. So I have to pay almost $280 gas. Plus, there is the first time the GPS was not catching. It was my third trip I get in Malola. Sometimes I have accent, so excuse me for that. So I born in Somalia. So when I was the GPS, I was navigating, so I could not catch the address. The company, he fined me $50. I pray that day, like I was feeling bad because of that fine, like $50. And a lot of my friends, they ran away from the state because of that. I'd say I like Portland. I don't want to move it. Whatever it is, I will be patient. Or I pray that time God bring to change another companies to challenge with this company in order we get to make a good life. A lot of immigrant people, they can't talk because if they talk, they know they're going to lose this job. They don't find but too many Ubers or another companies. It's good for immigrant, for everybody, for the Portland. So now I live in Portland. I have to go Hillsboro driving, like spending $10. So now if I make 1,000 Uber, like almost I'm making 600. It's my side. It's only I pay 200 gas, 200 for them. It's like 600 going to my pocket. All this is like I'm raising 5 kids. So this is the best opportunity I see in my eyes. And I know too many friends of my colleague that used to drive with me, taxi. They ran away because of the one particular person in the company making him fine, like, you make 10-minute mistake. You make this, and they collecting money. So we can't speak English. So or they don't know scissors, or they scare some background scary or something from the companies. All the time they tighten inside. But when you open the town, everybody will shop around wherever he want. If I wake up now, like early morning, I can go. Now I can take care of my kid. I can go. Like yesterday, I turn off the thing. I go home, and I was in a meeting in Borland. They have a David Douglas. Then I went there, and I enjoyed with my kid anytime I want. There's a freedom. Nobody asks you tighten in your bag, saying, hey, pay this week, this. No, it's like we work together. It's like working, be making together. Plus, since I was driving Uber, I never seen any complaints, and I have a free for my customer sitting close to me. I don't have any cash. I don't scare to harm me. So it's like a freedom-friendly driving your ride, and you having fun. So you go everywhere, like friendly, you don't scare. When I was driving the cab, I used to scare maybe he want to take your cash or your thing. But he already has my picture. I have his phone, and he already knows me, who I am. And directly we see each other when I'm directing, and I know that person who is coming. So there is a more confidential, plus saving money. And for us, our immigrant people, this is the way we can save money. And we come to America to change our lives. But we don't come to support one company on one person. And I know the company I used to work, their representative was here, was talking, but there's too many problems inside the immigrant people who driving the taxis, and they can't talk their rights. We have to say now there's a challenge. So the challenge is good for us, for the society, Portland people. Now I spend my money to go to somewhere else to pick up Hillsborough. Washington County or Clackamas County, I have to go. And I pay here, even when we pay DMV, we change extra money for Multnomah. And now, still, we don't serve here. And then I have to go Hillsborough all the time, spending my gas. But now, I wake up, I'm clean, my car is clean, then I go my car, and I turn on my GPS, and everywhere I'm waiting in front of my house, and while I'm chatting with my kid and playing, I can go anytime to the school. And nobody holding in my bag saying, oh, we pay that money. And plus, you make a small mistake, $50 fine. No, it's freedom. It's, sorry, I take for no, long, I guess.
Thank you. No, thank you very much. Yeah. Well said.
If I might add something.
Very quickly, because we have to get a few more people in before the council collapses entirely.
Of course. About the background check, I know that that was brought up a few times during these meetings. I remember going through that background check, and it was very extensive. You know, I had to submit driver's license, insurance, registration, all of that information. And, you know, all I had to do was submit a photo of it. And a few times the lighting was wrong or something like that, so it had to be very clear. And, you know, I really commend Uber for their diligence about that.
Do you have to give a fingerprint?
No, no fingerprints.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you all. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Okay. Next is Deanna Simon, Christine Wise, Todd Kresenbeck, Patricia Montgomery. And thanks, she was the last.
Okay, she's the last one.
That's great.
Who signed up?
Hey, you get the last word.
At the bottom of the list.
Thanks for waiting. Go ahead, please. Go ahead.
Good evening. My name is Christine Wise. I do not drive a cab. I do not drive an Uber. I am a 50-year-old working mom in Portland, and you are on my bucket list of things I wanted to do when I was 50, to come to a city council meeting.
Oh.
Wow.
Involved. So I've been taking copious notes during the meeting. I printed off some stuff that I got from them.
Was it everything you thought it would be?
Don't answer that question.
So don't tell my boss, but I thought I would be here for like a couple hours, and that was a lot of hours
that
ago.
That was a lot of hours ago, yes.
To answer that in a public forum. We have anonymous questionnaires you can fill out.
I'm not going to tell you where I work as I cover my jacket underneath. So I think that I've learned a lot today. I've heard a lot of people speak. I went on the internet. I got a lot of information about what I see happening. And the things that concern me right off the bat are just the bucket list of things that we don't know. And the things that I kept hearing repeated today from your committees were, I don't know, I assume, we'd like to see that happen. Our understanding is we didn't address that. It's a good question. We don't know. It probably makes the most sense. Well, my understanding, we could explore that. My assumption would be there are too many unanswered questions for me as a citizen of Portland, a longtime 28-year resident of the same home in Northeast Portland, to be comfortable with you making this decision today or even next week. I think a lot more needs to be done. please take the time to do this right, because it sounds like this is going to impact a lot of people. I'm concerned about deregulating the rates. You know, the impact that that's going to have, obviously, on a lot of working folks in the transportation industry, as well as those people that are getting in the cabs or the Ubers that need that ride, that can't maybe afford these surge prices. Surge prices scare me. There are a lot of elderly people in my Northeast neighborhood that rely on rides to the grocery stores, or that if it does happen during a Timbers game, does that mean Eva down the street is going to be paying $50 to get to Safeway? I don't know what this means. Figure this out before you make a decision. The mixed messages about insurance. Someone brought up these horrific accidents, you know, and you know, the cab companies and this and that. That's just driving home the point that I don't think that it was the cab driver that was, you know, ultimately you can't say, well, an Uber driver isn't going to make that driving mistake. It was a cab driver. Only a cab driver can. Anybody can make a driving mistake and have a fatality. And those insurance claims need to be in place. The fact that we know that these are insured drivers, that they're legally licensed, that they've had background checks, that maybe there's nothing in their past that could affect them to be on the road and be safe drivers across the board, that needs to be addressed. The fact that if someone is hurt in one of those accidents, that's going to damage their livelihood or affect their family, or they could lose their home or their job, and they're getting $25,000 as the maximum for that claim, that's not enough. That's not satisfactory. There has to be a level that is going to keep them whole. I see this cap on permits. If there's a cap on permits and we're saying that that's why people can't get enough transportation, why is that not lifted and you already have a company that you're regulating? Terms of use clause, I heard that a lot today. That kind of scares me because I didn't see that really as being addressed. I think I heard like, you know, well, fundamentally, and I'm concerned with the Uber statement that they'll agree to the fundamentals of safety, but not of business licenses. And I'm a huge advocate of licensing things. So I think that the business license is a huge component. The drivers need to have business licenses because, and this is not on you, but I pay a lot in taxes. And if you're making money, you need to be paying taxes. You need to have that business license, and you need to be upfront about it. I like a closed-loop economy. I like the fact that we wouldn't be sending 20% to California. Nothing against California, but let's keep that money here in our local economy. Let's not ship that away. This ID thing for the credit card information or whatever, if you use the app and you're using your ID, if you have credit card theft or if somebody is using ID, I don't know who's getting in that cab with me if I'm an Uber driver. I would be concerned. I have four sons. My oldest is in Eugene at U of O, and he was saying, hey, this Uber driver thing, you know, maybe that would work for me for picking up extra cash. I don't want somebody getting in his car with him that he doesn't know and that, you know, there's no check-in that somebody is knowing. He's going to have to be FaceTiming me constantly saying, I'm going to pick somebody up, and I'll FaceTime you when I get done dropping them off because I'm going to be a nervous wreck. So
I'm so glad you said that because at some point there's a human dimension to this.
Exactly.
For those of us that have children of a certain age and we worry about insurance of a certain amount, a car that's working, we worry about this, and then we say, well, but hopefully when she's out with some friends at a party and she gets in an Uber cab or any other ride, hopefully all that's taken care of, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's only one chance. There's only one time you actually care about it, and
right.
That's when something bad happens, and bad things happen. And that's where I come at this issue. My 22-year-old daughter is going to get an Uber cab because she's going around L.A. with her friends having fun. That's wonderful. But does it have the same level of protections that I, as her father, insist when she's home driving her car or our car? That, to me, is baseline. And I really appreciate you putting it in those human terms.
Absolutely.
Ms. Wise, I would say you just illustrated we should probably have like jury duty, that we would have unbiased people come in and listen to our hearings and really summarize many of the things that you've heard and your perspective as somebody who was interested but doesn't have a dog in the fight. So I really appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm glad this was on your bucket list.
Thank you. And just a couple more things, because I did take a lot of notes. So the roads, 57th and Failing, if you all are in that neighborhood. My gosh, the potholes in that section of roadway. And adding more cars to the road. And we already have this beautiful, like, you know, rainbow system of red line, green line, yellow line, blue line. I don't know where they all go because I'm terrified to get on them. Because I remember from Family Affair, Buffy and Jody getting on the bus and never getting off. I know.
It's not that bad.
So we have such a great infrastructure. And where I work, a lot of the 29,000 people that go there, they use that great infrastructure to get back and forth with the buses and the trolleys and the sea line and stuff. I'm concerned about putting more vehicles on the road.
I'm going to just interrupt you to share a depressing fact, which is that passenger vehicles actually don't impose all that much wear and tear on the roads. The weather imposes a lot, and big trucks and actually, unfortunately, buses impose wear and tear. So I actually, as a good environmentalist liberal, was hoping that if we just got more people to stop driving their cars, then we wouldn't have to spend anything on fixing the roads. But unfortunately, that's not true.
Steve, I don't want to ruin your night, but I was at the port the other day, and they said that with the two container ship businesses we've lost, they'll be shipping up to Washington and bringing them down in heavy trucks.
Oh, great.
Lots of heavy trucks.
Thank goodness that those will mostly be on Washington's roads rather than ours.
Until they cross the river.
So
I guess in closing, what I would just say is I would appreciate you taking more time and making a thoughtful decision and protecting not only the citizens of Portland, the youth of Portland that I think will be using this service, just being mindful that it's being echoed. The decision you make, it sounds like it's going to have pretty long-term impacts, and I don't think enough thought has been put into this yet to make it a competent, comfortable decision.
Thank you very much. We hope we don't make this a one-time appearance on your part. Very, thank you for being so thoughtful. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Todd Kreitzenbeck. I'm from Beaverton, Oregon. I'm a 35-year resident of Oregon. I'm a transplant from Idaho. So I am a Northwesterner. I've been here a long time. We're talking about insurance. Okay, there are insurances out there. You can cover everything that you want. But it's never going to guarantee that it's never going to happen. So if you're going to live your life in fear, you'll never let anything into your life. Okay? Uber's here to help. It's not here to harm. I'm an Uber driver. I go out at night. I've picked up people who are pretty messed up. They're drunk. They want to go home. They're not waiting 2 hours to go home. They're going to get in that car and they're going to drive home. I've taken a guy out of his own truck on my own dime and drove him home because he didn't have any money. I'm trying to tell you the truth right here. You can't insure everything in life and make sure it's going to work perfect. I want you to step forward like the trailblazers of this state. They didn't go out with insurances. They said, we're going to go west. And they took their time. They went out. They did the best they could. Let's do the same thing here. Let's take some time, let's do the best we can, let's move forward. Uber, it's a good thing. Don't put up walls and don't close us off just because taxi cabs are worried about losing income. This may even help them get more. Let's not say no to it just because we're scared. Talk about a fair play, fair. Most of these guys up here I met, I've gone around, I drive, and I go and get my little app, and I go find them, and I'll talk to them. Most of these guys are immigrants. My grandfather was an immigrant. I'm a fourth generation German here. Okay? My son, I, my father, his father, we're all vets. We all want a piece of the American pie. Don't close them out just because the cab companies say that we're not helping them. They're there. They're just not speaking out. That's all I have to say.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Do you have a business license?
No, I do not.
Did Uber ever ask, did they tell you that you needed a business license?
They did for Vancouver. That's where I started. But I no longer drive over in Vancouver because it's better just to work in Beaverton where I live.
You probably need an Oregon license, though.
What?
You probably need an Oregon business license.
Probably.
Good evening. Welcome.
Hi. Looks like I'm the last one.
Almost. I think there are a couple more people that want to speak. But go ahead.
My name is Patricia Montgomery. I'm currently a radio cab driver. I've been in industry 30 years. I worked with New Rose City Cab for 25 years under auspices of Mr. Arthur Palmer, as you recall. Too bad we weren't talking about this 20-something years ago, because Rose City never got but 8 permits in the 30 years I've had worked for them. So sort of nice to see the city looking at it, but at the wrong time. I'm concerned with accountability and enforcement. We came to council back in 1996 when the city was similarly underneath doing the same thing. They wanted shuttles to be unlimited at that time. If you recall, you were commissioner at the time, and the town car is unlimited. We're still feeling the impact from that decision when they were all thrown on the streets and they found out that the business wasn't there. The drivers suffered. They weren't making the income. And now they're still paying the bellhops at the hotels to get business. So it was sort of a decision that was rushed. So it'd be nice not to see this decision rushed because people were pushing through because they said there's a need for a change. And the change is going to be good. I drive a cab. I talk to a lot of people. People want Uber. People like taxi cabs. A lot of the taxi cab problems isn't necessarily because there isn't enough taxi cabs. It's because we're a creature of habit. You'll have someone call a cab company, and they'll stay faithfully with that cab company for 30 years. If it takes them 3 hours to get a cab, they're not going to call another cab company when there's actually other cab companies they can call and probably get picked up in a 10-minute span. So it's not necessarily because we don't have the demand of cabs on the streets. It's because of we're creatures of habits. And I think that if we have this Uber come out and stuff, that the city really needs to look at enforcement. Because there is no enforcement on the street at this time. I drive a cab at night. I see all kind of gypsy cabs on the street. And we're talking about Uber can't hail rides. Well, how are you going to prevent them from hailing rides? How are you going to prevent them from going down to the Amtrak station and sitting in line like the SAT cars do at this time? Because they do the same thing. There is no enforcement. So the city really needs to look at that aspect. If they're going to flood the streets with additional taxi cabs, flood the streets with Uber cars, which people do want, they need to look at how are you going to regulate this? How are you going to find people from doing stuff that they should not be doing? So that's going to be a big part of it. And thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you all. I think there were a couple other folks who came and wanted to speak but didn't sign up. Do please come on up. We'll take your testimony, and then we'll have the council have some discussion here. So didn't want you to sit through this whole hearing and not get a chance to speak.
Thank you, Mayor.
Come on up.
My name is Dan Mark. I own a company called Mark Car Service here in Portland. I've been in the taxi industry since 2000. I worked for Radio Cab and I worked for Green Cab. I also am an Uber driver. The thing that no one on the council has used Uber. I can tell by the way that you've talked, you've never ordered one. And until you've done that, you have no idea what anyone is talking about. Any question you ever have about ordering a cab is answered in the app. Everybody acts like Uber is a big, bad party guest that won't go away. And, you know, in other cities, I went on vacation in San Diego with my girlfriend in January. I didn't rent a car, and I took Uber everywhere I went. It works seamless. It works great. But one thing that I noticed in San Diego is there was taxis everywhere. And they've been there for 3 years. They didn't kill the taxi industry. There's not a cap on the customers. What the tendency with Uber is they grow the business. A yes vote from the board on Uber is going to give the citizens of this city cheaper, more reliable, quicker, and more options in transportation. Now, we talked about cash that what percentage of a cab driver gets cash. Every Uber trip is taxable income. There is no cash. Thing that you forgot. Every Uber trip is taxable income. It comes on a 1099. 15% of it or 20% of it goes out of town. The rest of it stays here. The other thing that you didn't we didn't talk about is that the voters, the citizens of this city love it. People have been getting in my car for years telling me about Uber. Everybody likes Uber. And, you know, if you don't like it, don't use it. If I come out of the Keller and I want to go home and it's busy and I call the dispatch and it's 20 minutes, 30 minutes till I get a car, and I can order an Uber, but it's in surge pricing and the $20 fare costs $60 to get home, respectfully, I ask you, what business is that of yours if I'm willing to pay that $60? If I'm willing to go out on with my girlfriend on Valentine's Day and pay a premium for a meal, that's no business of the city's, as long as I know. So in closing, I would like to say to the council, please, and I followed this process for years. I was at the original for Hire Transportation Board meeting when Uber made their original pitch. And I would just ask the board to hold true to your word. And I was at the meeting where there was a deal struck with Uber, and that if the rules weren't in place by the 9th, Uber could operate.
When was that?
The liaison was at the For Hire Transportation Board in January, I believe it was, and the deal that was struck with Uber when they stopped operations, when they paused operations, is that Uber was going to do a 90-day pause and that they could resume operations the 9th of April, whether the rules were in play or not. You were going to convene the board.
We've already heard from them today that that's not going to be the case.
Correct. I understand. They're playing by the rules. I'm asking you. The other thing, too, and Mr. Mayor, we had a conversation about this on Twitter. This is going to make a lot of opportunities for citizens here for part-time employment that really, have single parents, single moms, single dads. You know, it's a win-win for the city. The cab companies are going to be here. You know, in the 90s when Green Cab came, holy cow, that was the end of the world. We're all going out of business. In 2012, Union Cab came, it was the same thing. Holy cow, it's the end of the world. We're going out of business. It's not the case. And people leave their cars at home. We're going to grow the amount of riding people. And so it's going to be good for the city, and it's scary. But Broadway Cab, Radio Cab, they're going nowhere. They have customers that have been with them for years that will only be with them. So I urge the council for a yes vote.
Thank you very much.
Do you have a business license for your Uber driving?
I do. I am a Portland permitted company. I have commercial insurance. I'm also permitted at the Port of Portland, and I have access to ground transportation.
So you pay business income tax on your 1099?
Absolutely.
But if you didn't happen to also own a, you don't have a separate license for your Uber driving, you use your current company.
It's under my LLC, yeah. Uber has a different levels of service. And they have a black car service, and that's basically what I'm waiting for. They start with X, and then they bring the black car service in. And that's what I'm waiting for. Yeah.
Thank you. Good evening.
Mayor, thank you for a chance to express myself. It's daunting to follow so many eloquent people with brilliant ideas presented themselves before you. I thank the gentleman before me.
Just put your name in the record.
Too. My name is Frank Choto. I started out as a taxi driver. There were things before that, but in the transportation industry, and did that for a while. Then I went into the town car business. So next year, I've spent 30 years. I had planned for 2 weeks. Things happened. Here is my position. First, I have to thank Mr. Dufay and his staff over at licensing. This is a turbulent period. They have a new staff in there, and I've had a chance to use their services. They are far friendlier, very efficient. I hadn't seen that in my experience in the city of Portland. So someone at personnel is doing something right, and I think Frank takes some of the credit. Anyway, with regard to the situation at hand, I made my peace with Uber before you allowed Uber in here. I do not fear Uber as the owner of a town car company. In fact, I am moving to join Uber as one of their drivers to see if I can get a little more money, even if they do take some of it, but I'll get some. And I think that we all should consider like services, including the taxi industry. The taxi industry tends to want to compartmentalize itself. Radio cab, Broadway cab, no corporation. So there is a traveler here, a block away, standing for 2 hours. There's a radio cab here, but they call Broadway. There is no coordination between radio and Broadway to pick up this poor guy. In enters Uber, and Uber is electronic, and it links you to the nearest driver. This industry needs to start talking to each other and to start solving some of their compartmentalization inefficiencies. And before I stop, I'm concerned about the driver because I've been a driver for 29 years. I do not have savings after 29 years. I do not have retirement after 29 years. I do not own a home after 29 years. I do not smoke. Nothing against smokers. I do not drink or have habits. I work 7 days a week. I have a college degree. I have a graduate degree. I stayed in this industry, and this is where I am. I have buried, gone to funerals of drivers through the decades and watched their families walk away with nothing from this industry. Portland is a brilliant place. I've seen mayors here since Connie. What I would ask of you is find solutions so that these drivers can enter what the president said since he became president, a way into the middle class through this industry. All of them. It can be done. You can lower the kitty. There are people here who have never driven a day who make more than $1 million in this industry a year on this thing called the taxi car, whatever it is, ownership thing. Find a way so that drivers can keep more of their income. The technology is improving. I see more fuel-efficient vehicles, and I think that puts a little more money into the driver's pocket. I don't know if that's enough. I doubt. I see an electric car now coming in, company. Maybe that will help save some of the money. Insurance. You talk about insurance here. Let me take an example from construction. The construction workers could not find affordable insurance. It was bankrupting them. So they went down to Salem to the insurance commissioner, organized, and they got insurance through the state of Oregon, vastly cheaper. Insurance is a huge cost for drivers, passed on to them through this kitty process. I deal with it because I own my own company. They might organize and try through the state of Oregon to get state insurance and make it cheaper and keep some of that money in their pocket. There are things you could do. They may need changing rules and regulations. What is a 401k? What is a Roth? Roth IRA? I studied some of these things. These are immigrants, many of them. English is maybe a third language for them. And there are many who just do not see these financial instruments well for one reason or another. It is not beyond the pale for the city of Portland to look for a way to allow these drivers to join some kind of financial planning, investment pool, so that when they come to the end of their natural working life, like my friend Jim Poorman, who has aged so much better than I have, I saw him testify here earlier, that there is something to retire on. What is our country, the United States, going to do with a whole bunch of retired people who are called independent contractors and had nothing at the end of their natural working life? This is a question that we can debate, some of us, as we drink coffee, but ultimately, I believe and I trust and I pray that if it does not begin here at the city of Portland, where bright people reside, where our mayor is a genius.
Please don't say that, sir.
Okay?
Yes. Please don't
if
say
it
that.
Does not begin here, if we do not pioneer this and become the example for the entire country,
please don't say that.
Who will? Who will? I'm challenging you to do this and to change the rules and to allow these people to also have a retirement of sorts, a meaningful retirement, so that they will not walk on into the sunset with a heart attack is what most of them die of. Huh? I might go on, but it wouldn't do much good. I might suggest ways of working healthy, because most of them spend eons in that car. They forgot what walking was. They forgot what jumping was. Forget jogging. It's none of that. And they puff and they puff and they puff and they puff and they go boom. And they're gone. And the children are here. The spouse is here. And we just kind of let it go by. But I am hopeful that this time a trend has begun, beginning with the last mayor who did so many good things for us, and now continuing with this mayor. And believe me when I say I know how good you people are, it's because I transport your friends who talk about you in my car.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
That's a hard act to follow, but you have to follow it.
Good evening, commissioners and Mayor Hells. My name is Awais Alaso. I'm really happy, you know, to be here. I'm very, really excited with it, and I will let you know about that. I want to say a little bit about my background, and I will conclude, you know, I will just come to the conclusion, you know, in a bit. So I'm here in the United States for 4 years now. I'm actually an immigrant. Hope you don't have a problem with the immigrant accent. Mm-hmm. So when first time I came to the United States, I remember I was looking for a good life. There was time I was a refugee in Kenya, that I was living very, very hard life. But when I came to the United States, really, I have had a big change for the life. My first job, I had to work at Mayo Clinic, and I made really a progress for the first year with them. I moved, you know, after that I had to move here to Portland, and I worked at Legacy Health. I really, you know, met with the dream that I had, because I made a good progress for, you know, for that. And when I came here to Portland, I get a job from Legacy Health, and, you know, I was really and very happy, and I made a big change for the life. And still I have, you know, a dream to make my life, you know, better, and, you know, just to make a progress. I need, you know, to go to school so that I can still, you know, develop my future. And, you know, sometimes it's hard to go to school and do a full-time job. So I really, you know, just couldn't find a job that, you know, is flexible, which I can go to school and, you know. So I have heard that, you know, I'm Uber driver now. I have heard that Uber has got a flexible job. So I really felt that my dream is coming true, so that I can go to school and I can get a job, which is, you know, flexible. So I really, you know, just applied Uber, and I had to wait, you know, a little bit for a background check. And after, you know, a while, they accepted me to be as an Uber driver. And I started with them. Now I'm an Uber driver. And I'm, you know, on my way to go to school now. So it helped me really a lot. So if I remember the time I was a refugee and the progress I make, I really, you know, thank God a lot. Now, you know, I made really a good development for the life. I'm in Oregon. I'm, you know, just, I have a job. I'm here now. I'm in front of the Portland commissioners. I'm in front of the mayor. And it just really, you know, gives me a good moral, you know, for development. And thank you for you guys. Actually, I'm not Uber driver. There is, you know, I know regulations that needs to be fixed. I know a lot of stuff that needs to be, you know, to go under, to go through. So in my experience, I'm really very happy to be Uber driver. I picked up a lot of different people, and they were all happy, and I had, you know, I felt, you know, I have seen, you know, different people, and, you know, just everybody was happy and smiling, you know. So when you see a different faces, you feel really happy. You learn new people. So I would just, you know, say at the end of my words that thank you, everybody. And if there is any question for and that you want to ask me about the Uber, I'm really, you know, just open to answer about it.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you all.
Thank you.
So I'm going to open it up for council discussion. Thank you very much. We really appreciate everyone who's been here speaking today. This has been one of those hearings, frankly, that makes me amazed and proud to be a Portlander. We've had just eloquent testimony from an amazing variety of people. I appreciate the council's diligence and patience in having a long hearing. But actually, although the Private for Hire Board has had public hearings on various subjects, and although our task force was open to the public, this is the first real city council discussion of this issue because, of course, we confronted this problem with the commissioner in charge and me back in December, and then had this opportunity to take some time as a city and start looking at this issue. In my opinion, this task force has done an amazing job of getting into those issues and addressing them, although we've heard a lot of questions and concerns today that I think we need more information about. So I want to call on Commissioner Novick, but we have in front of us a report that the council can accept. That, by the way, does not mean that we accept every single one of its recommendations or that we are programmed for any particular action, as far as I understand it. But we've had a task force. It has delved into these issues. It's given us a set of recommendations. We've also, again, heard 6 hours of excellent testimony. So I think the options before us are more than one, but one of those options is to accept the report and then set a timetable for what we're going to consider next. So with that, I'll ask you, Steve, for your comments and thoughts about where we go from here.
I really, really appreciate the work that the task force did. They were given a tight timeline and a lot of issues to work on. I'm amazed that they were able to meet as often as they did and go over the issues as thoroughly as they did. I also really, really appreciate, as the mayor said, everything everybody had to say today. It's been an extremely thoughtful discussion. And as the mayor said, there are a number of questions we need to follow up on. I think among them, for example, Commissioner Fritz's question of can we get absolute assurance from the insurance companies that they are not going to be canceling people's policies during the time when people are not on the app because they find out that somebody is driving for a TNC. One thing I have to note is that on the issue of insurance coverage, the basic Oregon requirement is for $25,000 for the injury or death of a single person, $50,000 total for the injury or death of multiple people in a single accident. and all drivers are dangerous, and we have a concern about those limits, we might want to consider asking the legislature to raise those minimums in general, not just for TNC drivers. I think that...
Can I just ask a procedural
yeah.
thing? Because I have a hunch we could spend the next hour
sure.
talking about issues, and I've already missed dinner, but I don't want to miss putting mm-hmm. my son to bed. So could we instead focus for a moment on just how we're going to process this issue, and then because I think each of us could spend a half an hour identifying issues of concern, and we could even begin a preliminary debate. But I think we're all going to we may actually have alignment on some next steps. And I'd be interested, Steve, in what you think is what you'd be open to for a process whereby the council could get some answers to the questions that have been raised tonight and that each of us have a chance to have perhaps a work session or some other gathering where we could get feedback from professional staff and really feel like we've digested it, and then a chance to come to council and debate a resolution. That would be just
absolutely. I think that what we can do, what our staff can do, is make a list of all of the questions that they heard tonight and identify ones for which we know we have answers and ones for which we'll need to search for answers. And then we will send that list to all the council members and say, did we miss anything? And you can tell us what we missed. And I think that's the appropriate next step.
I assume we can do that fairly quickly because we've all been taking lots of notes. Assuming we get a list of questions, and some of them may involve bringing legal counsel in, because I still have some, despite the good briefing I had earlier, I still have some big legal questions about what laws apply and what don't and what that means to us. Once we get to that point, though, I'll just speak for myself that I think it would be helpful to have another group gathering, and maybe it's a work session or whatever you want to call it, where we can talk about those issues, get input from staff, and then present a resolution. The challenge of doing a resolution will be, at this point, it may be subject to substantial amendments based on further testimony, in which case that process is harder to circumscribe. I think the five of us deliberating actually could narrow these issues quite dramatically, not deliberating, but discussing in a work session. So that would be my suggestion.
I think that's a fine suggestion. And also, in the meantime, since my impression is that everybody involved with this has great respect for the group of Lewis and Clark law students who looked at this issue, I'm going to see if we can convene a meeting of the Lewis and Clark law students and members of the taxi industry out of the TNCs and see if maybe they can just all thrash it out in a couple of hours.
Mayor, would you be open to that concept, perhaps?
Yeah, so let me make some specific suggestions. One, I'm going to close the public hearing on this, except on this report. And again, I believe what we should do as a council, both to close this phase of the work and to thank the task force for its work, is to accept the report. And I'll entertain a motion to do that. No one should either panic or celebrate if the council accepts the report, because all we're doing is accepting a report. We're not making decisions that we agree with everything in it, and we're not rejecting it, but we're saying thank you for your recommendations. Or we cannot do that and simply leave the report on the table. But we do this all the time. For those of you who aren't familiar with this process, we get council reports all the time, and mere acceptance doesn't mean
Mayor, can I speak to that for a
second? In particular. So
I'm going to, as someone who is highly skeptical of both the time frame we're on and a number of the issues that I think we still have to sort out, I will move to accept the report, and I'll tell you why. It is the tradition of this body to accept reports from citizens that we impanel to give us recommendations.
Right.
I can only think of one example where we didn't, and that was because of a fundamental disagreement about some national security issues and the extent of the reporting. But from my personal point of view, if we don't accept the report, what we're essentially saying to a citizen group is that we don't value the effort sufficient to just transmit the report to us. That's all it is. It's a ministerial act. It doesn't give it force of law. It doesn't say we're up or down. You can accept the report and still reject the recommendations. I think it's bad form not to accept reports, particularly when you've asked people to work under such constrained time limits and to do as thorough a job as this. So I'm going to move to accept the report, even though I have enormous reservations about some of the recommendations, and I think the council has some work to do before we could get to a resolution that I could support.
I'll see if there's a second for that.
Second.
Okay, so before we take action on that motion, let me make some suggestions. Again, I think I want to take your suggestion, Commissioner Fish, and it sounds like you agree with this, Commissioner Novick, that we ought to have some kind of a council work session probably a week from now.
I think that's way too soon.
But let's consider that. One of the things that we heard in this hearing is very important, and that is, although maybe no one regards this as particularly miraculous, the city of Portland is unusual in that transportation network company entered this market. We told them to stop, and they did. And they have been a participant in this debate here today. But no one is threatening to begin operations while the council deliberates. And frankly, compared to hundreds of other cities around the world, that's a good thing, that's where Portland is right now. So I believe we've got a little time to do our job right rather than being rushed into doing it too quickly. So therefore, I think if we could set a timetable of a council work session to hear back from our professional staff and your staff, Commissioner Novick, in a couple of weeks.
I think a couple of weeks, that would work for me, Mayor.
That would be sane and practicable. Brian, what do you think? So
there is a resolution filed.
I would recommend that we have the work session first and delay filing the resolution.
Yep.
Yes.
We should not have a resolution with the work session because then we would stray into deliberating, which we're not allowed to do. This is really for the purpose of crafting a resolution.
Right. And again, I want the public to understand we actually do this fairly often, which is that we have a city council work session in which we bring in our professional staff and we ask them questions. It's not a public hearing where we take testimony like this. Before we actually do anything, we will have a public hearing again. Sure, I'll let you ask a question.
Do the public get to attend those work sessions?
Yes, they're public. Public. Yeah, everything. Whenever there's more than three of us in a room. Yeah, in Oregon, whenever there's more than three decision makers in a room working on a decision, it's a public meeting. And in fact, it'll be in this chamber and it'll be on TV. So,
can you announce those though?
It will be. It will be. In fact, we're going to maybe even, with our council clerk's help, pick a time when we might do that.
Now, this will be on a Tuesday, Mayor?
This is a challenge because we are also in the middle of our budget process.
At the spring bump on 2 weeks.
Yes, I am thinking that perhaps the afternoon of Tuesday the 21st might be practicable for a work session. We have a work session on the budget that morning. So that's one option. Another one would perhaps be...
Do we have a council session, Carla? We have a hold for Thursday afternoon, but is there a council session?
I don't have anything else scheduled
Mayor,
that
have,
day.
We actually have now that Thursday freed up.
Talk about Thursday the 23rd at 2 p.m.
Oh, no, not the 23rd. No, the 16th. The 23rd has two land use cases.
In the afternoon? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So.
And it's hard to schedule work sessions without your schedulers because I don't really schedule those. So.
But and so we won't necessarily arrive at this precise mm-hmm. decision, but I will ask our council schedulers to try to make the afternoon of Tuesday the 21st work.
It looks like it would work for me.
For at least a couple of hours. Again, for our staff from the Bureau and from the City Attorney's Office and any other resources we want to call on to look at all the questions that got raised in this hearing and come back to us with some answers.
You and I have a meeting that afternoon. We can reschedule.
Okay.
And I think I have another search-related thing we can reschedule. So why don't we put that down?
Okay.
Subject to changing.
So we're going to tentatively select 2 p.m. On April 21st for that work session, and I would advise the council to try to make that 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. in your calendars, just in case we need that long to work our way through all the issues that we've heard. If we get lucky and we get answers quickly. It won't take 3 hours, but that will be, again, that'll be a council work session in which we work our way through the complexities that, again, this great Citizens Committee has already partially dug into for us, and they've done a lot of work in a short time, but obviously this hearing has illustrated, one, how complex this is, and two, that there's still a lot of questions.
So I'll move the report.
Okay, so we have the motion and the second. Any further discussion on accepting the report, which is will be the action before us tonight? Okay, roll call on that, please.
Fish?
Thanks to the mayor and Commissioner Novick for leading the process at the council. Thanks to the citizen task force for the work that they did under probably in record time. I can't think of something that this compares to. And then a thoughtful presentation. Thanks to all the professionals, particularly at the Transportation Bureau, who have been briefing the council and guiding this process. In accepting this report, I have serious reservations about a number of the key recommendations. On the other hand, I will say I want to echo what the mayor said. I think this is one of the better hearings we've ever had. And my litmus test is I go home and tell my wife I'm surprised I get paid to do this job. And it's a privilege to have a seat here. We sit here and we look at the people testifying. It's a privilege to have so many people come forward and with such passion and thoughtfulness share their views. So it is our honor to spend an evening with the people that are here tonight. For me, Mayor, I am going to be looking in the next phase of this, particularly through four lenses. Equity, and it does trouble me that the TNCs believe that ADA does not apply to them. So I think we have to be very intentional about how these rules apply. Two is safety, and I think the insurance business is not something I understand well, but I think people have raised some concerns, and I'll look forward to the follow-up discussion about what are the responsible limits that apply across the board. This notion of a level playing field, which we've all committed to, that's very important here. That's a very important value, but I fear that we may be creating a separate but unequal system, and I want to be convinced that it's truly a level playing field. And finally, the enforcement piece, I think we have to get right. And to those who think that we just spend all of our time thinking about ways of enforcing laws in some random way, I just want to say our job, once we get it right, is to enforce community standards, not to just hire people for the purpose of harassing people. It's to enforce community standards. And the ultimate test of what we do is are people safe in accessing services when we say that they can be safe? And I have been somewhat discouraged by the track record that we've had in the short-term rental discussion, because we've had people who come before us saying that they want to do the right thing, but we just have had difficulty getting them to do the right thing. And so I would say trust but verify ought to be our approach to this and any of these other things. And finally, I'm all for innovation, and I compliment Silicon Valley for coming up with endless apps. But remember, the TNCs are very clear in their litigation. They say they are not transportation service providers, and they are not public accommodations. Well, that means they're something that we've not really understood before. And we have, I think, a special duty to get it right when we regulate something that so conspicuously doesn't fall within any of the categories that we're used to regulate. So I really appreciate this hearing. It has actually helped move my thinking forward, and I look forward to working with my colleagues to see if we can get the consensus on this. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I want to thank the task force for their work and all of the staff that helped support the task force and the public that has spoken to us tonight. I think that I'm a little mystified about all the insurance issues, but concerned. So I want to make sure we try to get that right. I am concerned that we don't have perhaps adequate coverage limits. And I don't know whether that requires us changing state law or just requires us putting it forward if we move ahead with a regulatory scheme for the TNCs. Don't know why fire extinguishers were taken out of the cars. I think they should be part of the cars.
As the
fire commissioner, yeah.
Mayor, can we just put that back in, for God's sake?
That one's easy.
We knew that was coming.
Yeah. The spare tire I can see taken out, and that's weight. You can save some weight there. So it's really the insurance issues, and as I expressed earlier in the evening or earlier in the afternoon, my concern how this does affect how the entrance of TNCs will affect people's wages, what they earn, and we've heard testimony, you know, pro and con. I think on behalf of the TNCs, and people are making livings, or so it seems, making livings, driving for Uber or for Lyft. But I also know that, people, it seems like more full-time people are working in the taxi cab limousine industry. So that's something I'll ultimately weigh in whatever decision I cast. And then I thought the concerns about the accessibility and the recommendations of PEEP, I think that was the acronym, deserve further scrutiny as well. And so those are things that I'm concerned about. And on the insurance issue, I think it's making sure we have good coverage, liability coverage. I think, as somebody said, from the time the app's on till it's off. And I do think on the background checks, that's the other issue I'm concerned about, is the third party versus the city doing its own background checks. I think there were some good points made about